Okay, Parshas Vayigash. It starts off as Siva Shalom brings down the very first pasuk, Vayigash Elof Yehuda, the famous showdown between Yehuda and Yosef, where we left off at suspense, the end of last week's parsha, where the cup was found in the sack of Binyamin, that they were bringing Binyamin back, and Yehuda stepping forward to plead for Binyamin's life, knowing that he's the guarantor, he's the one who promised his father that he's going to bring him back, and now he's stuck, because Binyamin seems like he's in trouble. So the pasuk says, "Vayigash Elof Yehuda." Yehuda came close by Yoimer, and he says to Yosef, and we need to understand a few things here. Bi Adoni, and me, my master. Let me please speak. Your servant should speak words in the ears of him, my master. You're not getting angry with your servant. Because you are like Paro. So, a number of things we need to understand. The first thing is that the Medrash points out here, Medrash Rabba, says a few different pshatim, what exactly was Yehuda doing? One opinion, he was getting prepared for war. Another opinion, he was trying to appease him. But the third opinion is on Koshel of Tfilah. When he was coming close by Yigash, he was davening. It was a moment of Tfilah. Okay, a moment of tefillah. We have to understand, where in the pasuk are we seeing a tefillah here? He's talking to Yosef. He's telling Yosef, okay, my master, please, don't get angry with me. You know, it sounds more like a pious, it sounds more like that shot. And Rashi picks out two pshats, and he comes over to Gafaro, then it's sometimes, you know, a softer shot or a stronger approach. So those we see in the pasuk, where do we see a tefillah here? What's the tefillah going on here? That's number one. We need to understand what Chazal saw the tefillah here. Secondly, you know, what does it mean, be Adoni, in me, my master? What's he saying, be Adoni, in me? If anything, right, you should say, I am Adoni. And what's be Adoni? Be sounds like something in me.
Does he know where you're coming from? If he's a king, just if the king.
Okay. Okay, Parshat Shad could be Adoni, that was sort of on the same page, Yehuda and Yosef, the Yehuda's a ruler as well. That could be a Parshat Shad, but we'll try to elaborate on this a little bit more. Okay? So first, where do we see it feel in the pasuk? Secondly, what does Yehuda mean with the phrase, be Adoni and me, my master? Who's he referring to? What's that talking about? And then again, he repeats Adoni. He says, Yidabina avdecha, tova bazedini. Please, let your servant speak in the ears of my master. Again. That's one shot of Rashi. We were just saying the measures. The measures has three approaches. There's Lachama, Pius, and Tefillah. So we're trying to understand the Tefillah pshat. Where do we see a Tefillah in this pasuk? And we're trying to understand why he uses the term Bi Adoni, and why he repeats the word Adoni. Third question, why does he repeat it? What's he saying? What is Yehuda expressing here in this pasuk? So let's begin to try to understand this. So we'll start like this. The Gemara in Brachos, the Magid from Mazrich, the Mazrich of Magid, explains in Siv Shalom, brings down that the Chazal tells the Gemara in Brachos, which we're about to start in Mitzvah Shem on Sunday for all those who are Messiah Pshas, and I'll say a story about that as well. But, and it says like this, the Gemara says in Lamed Amud Beis, Ein Oindim Les Fa'al Mitzvah Kevid Reish, a person does not stand to daven, or you shouldn't stand to daven, only Mitzvah Kevid Reish from a kavod rosh, so pasuk shah means with a heavy head, meaning that you're humbled to lower yourself when you come to daven, right? That you put yourself in your place to get ready to daven the kodesh baruch. So the Mazrich of Magid tries to explain something different. He says, no, there's a different thought here. And he says the following. He says, at a time when a Jew is in a tzara, or when it's a difficult time, and you want to daven. So at that point, listen, there may be ketrugim, there may be things up against that person, the reason why he's suffering, whatever's going on, and you want to daven, and you want to be able to be successful in your tefillah. He says the following, you should daven, And what does Kevid Reish mean? So this is his words, Barak, which says, Kevid Reish, Reish, Merumas, LaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Reish is a remez, a hint to Hashem. What do we mean? Shenya, as Kolin Yana, you should leave, put aside all of your own personal inyanim, V'yivakesh Rak Avor Hashem Yisbarach, and you should daven and beseech Hashem for Hashem. Rak Avor Hashem Yisbarach, only for Hashem. Avor Achilik Elakam Yimel Shesh Bekirbo. So what does that mean? What does it mean? Davening for Hashem. Hashem needs your tefillah. At the time of Tzari, davening for Hashem. And the Zitra Magid is saying an unbelievable thought. Unbelievable thought. They're saying the following. When Yehuda, and the Sif Shalom ends the song, when Yehuda says, we said the Medrash said, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, that Yehuda started a tefillah here. Vayayman, he said, Be Adoni, in me my master. What is Yehuda saying? Those words, in me is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning, Be Adoni is referring to Hashem, he's davening. In me, my master Hashem, there's a chelik of you in me, and there's a chelik of you that is affected by this tzar that's going on right now, and I'm davening for you, Hashem. I'm davening that your tzar should be lifted here. The pain that Hashem is seeing, watching, that Binyamin is about to be taken away, I'm davening for the chelik of Hashem's tzar, not for my tzar. It's a powerful thought. It's a powerful thought, but a very true thought. There's three partners in a person, right? The Baruch Hu is a shutter. But more than that, Hashem has a chelik in every person. And when it says, Imo Anochi B'Tzara, when we're in Golos and Hashem feels the tzar, that's just a nice little phrase. Imo Anochi B'Tzara, Hashem is feeling the tzar, means there's a tzar of the Shechina. And there is. That his children are in pain and suffering. There's a tzar of the Shechina that so many people have lost Yiddishkeit and assimilated. There's a tzar of the Shechina. When there's division amongst brothers, amongst friends, amongst Klal Yisrael. And Yehuda is teaching us from Seyed and Tefillah what the Medrash is telling us. He said, where did the Medrash see this Pasuk? The Tefillah is right here. When Yehuda approaches the Tefillah, via the knee, he's davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's davening for Hashem, and he realizes the fire that he's in. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm davening for you. I'm putting away my own personal needs. I'm davening for you. Obviously, this is a very high level. We'll talk about this a little bit later. It's a high level to reach, to be able to put away one's own personal interest in a situation. But we have to recognize that the chiddush of Hashem is tzar every time. A yid is tzar. And we have to keep that in mind. Just to keep that in mind.
Don't you believe Moshe Rabbeinu also? What are you between this?
Well, he's worried about Kvay Shem Shemayim. That's different. The Kudo. Kvay Shem Shemayim here is literally the tsar. The tsar that Hashem is feeling. The tsar that Hashem feels to be awful, that he has a feeling of tsar. Let's take that tsar off and stop him for Hashem. So it comes to mind a beautiful story that came out. All those that did see the Siyam HaShasra, attended the Siyam HaShasra, watched it afterwards. So Yoli Gold said over a story from the floor at the end, with the two people there. Does anybody else repeat it? Because it's a beautiful thought, the concept.
There were two people there at the end?
No. There was more than two people. He was standing next to the two people with the story happening to him. And he said over the story the following. He said that at the last Siyam HaShas, his father took his young son to the Siyam. And, you know, he wanted to bring him up to try to get brachas to Gedolim and get brachas to people. His son was a little bit, you know, shy and didn't want to go. And he said, listen, if you just go with me, I'll give you whatever you want, so to speak. And I was like, tell me what you really want. Tell me what you really want. Okay. So the boy, good deal. They figured he's going to walk away with something pretty expensive at the end of the night, right? And they ended up, what happened? He goes around with his father, he goes to brachas. Then on the way home, they're driving home. And it's like quiet in the car, and finally the son pipes up and says, okay, I know what I want. So the father's ready, okay, well, how much is it going to cost? Here it is. Here's the big moment. And the child says, Daddy, at the next Yom HaShas, I want you to be Mesayim Shas. I want it to be your personal sin. That's what the child wanted. He wanted something for his father. He didn't want something for himself. What a beautiful, beautiful midah. What a beautiful midah. What a beautiful story. That the child, all he wanted, you want to give me something, Dad? Give me shas that you finish and that we can be Mesayim, that I can look at you and be participate in your simcha. They were sitting together at the Siyam HaShas. The father kept his promise. And the father just was Mesayim Shas at the Siyam.
There?
I was not there. But anyway, so the story here is the following. So why do I say the story? Who missed the punchline here? The story is the following. It's a child looking for what's best for the father.
Give you a phone and a
Okay. A child is looking best for his father. And I think that's the Nakuda here. If we really are thinking about our Father in heaven, in any situation that we're in, that's where our thoughts should be. Just like this child is thinking about his father, to give him the ultimate simcha, is that you finish out that, I want the best for you. We're the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're children. What should we be feeling? In any moment of the situation, both, I mean, here it happens to be a time of sorrow that Yehuda's beseeching Hashem for Hashem's sake, but it's also, let's flip it even in the positive moments. So who are we thinking about? We should be thinking about giving Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well in everything we do. Because we're his children, and we want the best for our father. And then it continues. So we answered at least in the beginning. We see a tefillah here, and we see Bi Adoni. We see the chelik of Hashem in me, that I'm davening for Hashem. But then it's even more than that. There's another nekuda here that the Baal Shem Tov brings down, the others bring down, in the end of the pasuk. When it says, repeat Adoni, please let me speak your servant to my master. What is that referring to? So this is what's brought down in Chazal. They say the following. Ikra Tfilah Shel Yehudi, point number two. And let me just digress for a moment that the Nesiv Shalom brings down another Svarim as well. I got to mention earlier, the Svarim HaKadoshim say that in this pasuk is the Yesod of the Yesodos of Tfilah that we need to know how to daven in a difficult situation. It's right here in this pasuk. So the first step we just mentioned, the lofty step of davening for Hashem. That's number one. But then there's also a practical step. Number two is that we have to realize that we're speaking to our master that we just want to have a conversation with. And we're davening to Hashem. Yes, we're davening for you, Hashem, but we want to talk to you, Hashem. And this is what he explains. What's the main tefillah of a Yehudi? Please, your servant, we just want to speak words. We just want to have a conversation. So we have the ability to speak in front of you, Hashem. And we're able to talk to you, Hashem. What a schus. So, of course, if we're on the high level, you're davening ready for the Tzar of Hashem. If you're not there, but focus on davening to Hashem. And I'm talking to Hashem. Take that moment. That's what we do with it all. The way that the Nesiv Shalom is understanding this pasuk, this is a tefillah between Yehuda and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm bowing to you, Hashem. I'm your Eved Hashem. I'm talking to you, Hashem. You know, sometimes there's a story when we talk about davening and really, really davening to Hashem, right? Talking to Hashem. You know, many times people can seem like they're into their tefillah. Or are they really into their tefillah? Are we not getting distracted? Are we looking to the side? Perhaps there's a little buzz going on in the pocket or in the back pocket or in the front pocket or in the, you know, but there's some noise going on around them and we're distracted. we're distracted. We really want to have good tefillahs. Focus and say, Hashem, I just want to focus on Hashem. I don't want any distractions. I don't want anything else. I don't want anything taking me off this conversation, this moment that I have this audience with you. Total focus. Then we go a little further. And actually, that's what the pasuk means. The Sefer Shalom explains at the end of the pasuk. That's right, there's two things. The Be'adini, first of all, is on top before Hashem. Be'adini, the ears are just talking to Hashem. That's the way I need to approach my tefillahs. And then, he says an interesting thing. He says, you know, we may think that first level that we mentioned is a very high level. But he said, because Chazal is telling us that there's an Eitzah here. When we're in a difficult passage, like who the finders open, that's the way we're supposed to daven. That we daven, that even us, who are not at such a high level, that we can daven and say, Hashem, we know you have a chilek here, we know you have a little bit of tzar here, that we can at least say the words. We can at least recognize that fact. But I think we can only get to that high level when we do the first thing, is when we're actually talking to Hashem. When we're talking to Hashem and he's real in our lives, then we can start thinking about the tzar of Hashem. You can't get there unless you first have a conversation with him. And you're really, really talking to Hashem. It's a beautiful story about the concentration that one has in davening and what kind of a difference it makes when one really talks to Hashem. There was a yid who came, it's a famous story really, years ago, but worthwhile repeating. First time he came to the coastal, first time, and he did not know how to daven. And he was just man from Texas, he was davening, or trying to figure out, he didn't know how to daven, he's just standing by the coastal, just watching everyone else daven. And he focused and was mesmerized on one yid recorded, who was so into his feeling. And he was watching his fans sway back and forth, and tears dripping, and just totally engrossed, nothing around him, didn't know anyone was around him, just so in the zone. And he was so impressed. But again, he didn't know what to do with it because he himself didn't learn how to dominate, didn't know what this really meant. He knew he was Jewish. And he came back to America after his trip, his first time in Israel, said, you know, I want to do something meaningful. And he starts just literally opening up the phone book, calling synagogues. And he calls the shul. Rabbi answers the phone. And he says to him, I'd like to donate money to your synagogue. And that's a call that every rabbi would like to have, right? And he says, well, I'd like to have a meeting. So you're trying to figure out, who is this person? He says, no, but I'd like to tell you, can I sit down and talk to you? I'd like to explain where I'm coming from. And he sits down with him and he explains to him that he would like to have the merit to donate money to help people pray like the person he saw at the Kota. He was so moved by it that he would like to have he wanted to do something that allow other people to learn that too. It happened to be, as of course nothing happens to be, it's a special process. It's coincidence, it's a miracle, so Hashem chooses to be anonymous. It's an absolute hashkacha that shul was about to undergo a building campaign. And guess what? This man built this shul for them in Texas and allows many people today to daven and learn. Because of what? Because he saw one yid totally focused on davening. One yid totally focused. The Rosh Hashanah made that it has a tremendous effect on that yid gets up into Shemayim. One day, after 120, Akash Baruch was going to show him the shul that he built in Texas. And this yid is going to look, Mata, Texas. He never left there. He saw some Yishalim. What are you doing over there? What did I do in Texas? I don't know what the place is. Well, what is it? And the answer is going to be very simple. You have no idea what you accomplish when you're actually talking to Hashem and nothing else. You just built a show. You built a world. So that's the case where it actually happened, where a world was built. But we're building worlds all the time when we're talking to Kodesh Baruch Hu. All the time, listen, and merits that we're building up for ourselves, for our families, for our friends, for our kehila, for Klal Yisrael. It doesn't stop. Who knows how much we're building with just a good, focused tefillah. So that's the side this year. It's a focused tefillah, and then it becomes the end of the puzzle. He adds another little piece. Ki kamocha kifaro. So how do we do the end? So again, the beginning is, I'm coming close to daven, be'adini, because of Hashem, sorry, You daven to other God over Baza and Dani, I just want to speak, please let me speak to you, Hashem. Please get up about that, and don't get upset at me. Even though I'm in a massive Torah, whatever's going on, I kick him over to Kaparo. Because you like Paro. So what does it mean, kick him over to Kaparo? Paro is a lotion of healing, revealed. And what he means is the following. That at least, Hashem, there's two parts, there's two ways that I can daven. I'm davening for my own personal tzar. So do Hashem. I'm davening for my own personal tzar. Right? But I'm also davening to Kamoka Gefaro, meaning that this Eitzah, Kamoka, like you, I'm actually asking on behalf of your tzar, Hashem. Kamoka, like you, Kiparo, the situation I'm in should be revealed just to you as well. That I'm davening in my tzar, because come on, Kapar, because your tzar is like revealed here too. It's your tzar that I'm looking at also. So, but it's repeating it at the end, meaning I'm confirming Kikamoka Kapharo that just like my tzar is your tzar. It's all the same. It's a reiteration and a statement of the facts. And I think it's something that we can't take for granted. This concept and this idea of thinking about Hashem more. Not just thinking selfishly for ourselves. I'm thinking about the time that Hashem sees so many of his children lost, so many of his children that are in pain, that we stop and take a moment to think about our brothers, think about our sisters, think about people that are not fortunate enough to understand certain people in difficult situations. And perhaps we could, by sharing their burden, we can alleviate them from those situations.
I don't get the kick of my Kaparo. Because you're like Kaparo. How does that translate to your Kaparo?
So what he's saying is that, let me read you how the Seer Shalom says it, okay? He says the following. Since it's a hard thing to be mavakish on the tsar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kamoku hu mashu mavakish al tsar shalom aleichem v'yachol. Like you, meaning, first that Satan himself, I'm davening, just like the tsar is for me, it's open. I know the tzar is for you too, even though it's not revealed in front of me. Even though I don't see your tzar. So like you, Kibaro, it's the same. Your tzar is like it's revealed. It really is. I need to work on myself to get to that point to reveal it. That's how he understands it. But there's another nekuda, a third nekuda in the skill that I want to mention too. There's only way of 2 points. Davening for Hashem, focused davening. But then there's another thing, is believing in ourselves and the ability to talk to Hashem. And there's another shot that the Seer Shalom says in the later Maimer, and he explains the following. Piyazoni, we can translate totally differently now. So we just went along the line that was a Tfilat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? But there's another nuance in Piyazoni as well. In me is Hashem, meaning there's a Chelek Eleka in every person that's spiritual, that's Ruchni. There's a Gashmi part, there's a Ruchni part in every person. We all have Ruchni is in us. Don't think we are unable to tap in to a greater relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being able to talk. And sometimes we feel like we're not worthy. That prevents us from even having the conversation or from thinking lofty thoughts. There's a step before that. You're worth it. You're more than worth it. Be Adoni, it's in you. You have the ability to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and approach the Melech and talk to it. You then have the ability, step two is to focus and make that conversation meaningful. And three, you can even make it even stronger and connect to Hashem in a way that you feel the tzar of the Shekhinah too. It's a build up. But it starts first with Bi Adoni. Maybe we have to talk to ourselves and say, Hashem is in me, not outside of me, not somewhere far off as Brooklyn. It's Lova Shemayim, he. It's here, right here and now. And that allows me, or gives me the ability to open my mouth and start that conversation. We have to recognize that every one of us has that ability to start that conversation. Start that conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In me is my master. So before we said, we really covered 3 points here in this tefillah. Two that the Seer Shalom says in his first shot, are part of the tefillah that Yehuda had, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the third is possibly the springboard of the stepping stone to have that conversation, is believing that they're chelik of the kasher tini. And you see it so many times, there's so many stories that you hear a lot of times, stories of people that you think are so far away from Yiddishkeit, so far, and all of a sudden there's that spark, that neshama that lights up, and all of a sudden life changes, and everything moves, and everything goes in the direction. And it's not just for people who are Bali Shuva. It's for people who are in the Beis Medrash, people who are outside of Beis Medrash. It's for everyday person. Every person has a chelik elika. I was just looking, we just finished the Siyum HaShav. We're just finishing. Most of us are actually finishing. Shabbos is when the last half is Nida. And you think about it. You think about the commitment and all the different types of people that took it upon themselves. Whether it was a child talking to the father, whether it was just the everyday guy. The everyday guy who says, I can do this. I can do this. I can try. I can take one day at a time. An old cliche, or an old cliche and a good one. One day at a time is exactly what it is. One day at a time. And I can tell you the hours and hours and hours of my life that I've watched Rav Yomi, or that I learned at Rav Yomi that were given back to me, so to speak. Whether on planes or in airports, traveling many, 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 many times over the last 7 years, Rav Yomi's with me. A beautiful story that was shared as well that went out for one of the human and one of the videos of a person who was in an airport in Columbus, Ohio. He's in an airport, and there's a security guard, one of the TSA guys, a guy with a yarmulke. And he sees him carrying his daf yomi. And he looks and he says, did you know today's daf yet? That's a new TSA line now. We're going to ask you if you learn before you get on the plane. Not exactly. So the TSA guy says, okay. So he said, this morning, I really had a kasha. It's bothering me still. Can you help me understand it?
The TSA agent.
So the TSA agent is sitting there learning with the guy in the airport, and he had some time to his flight to understand the kasha and the Gemara and Baba Kama that day that they learned. How beautiful and gorgeous. How gorgeous. The Shema of the Yid means it goes wherever you go. There's no break. That's what Ruchnius is. Ruchnius is Nitzchius. Ruchnius is eternal. There's no one place where it's appropriate just to be a firm Jew or to be a Jew that's on fire. No. It's everywhere we go. Everywhere we go that the Shema is talking to us and the Shema is igniting us. And it's a film that he teaches us. That commitment that a Yid has to do something every day. And I'm not saying everyone has to do daf yomi, but at least to have a commitment to learn every day, to have a commitment to light yourself up every day. The more you're connected, then we have these three steps to follow, and our tefillos will be different. If we're connected constantly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we understand that there's something ruchni about us. We're not just going through the motions of your life. Then that gives me the ability to go to the next step and say, okay, now I can have a conversation with Hashem because I'm worthy, because I have the chelik of the kind. And then, once I have a conversation and I focus and I work on making the conversation meaningful, then I can start thinking the higher levels as well and saying, Hashem, I'm davening for you as well. I'm not just davening for myself. So take these lessons to heart. We just got finished with the Hanukkah. The light of the menorah is supposed to ignite a passion in us. The Sfasem has said, the shear that we give for how long the menorah should be lit is after the chala regal and the shuk until the last person leaves the marketplace. So why is such a funny language in the Gemara? The Sfasem has explained, you tell me, it's a chav mushkiyah, whatever the time is, that is a chala regal and a shuk means. Regal comes from the word regilus, routine, the rote. We all get stuck in the rote of everyday life. And we just do things because we do it, okay, I can't really do this. I'm just being stuck where I am. No. Actually, the Chal Regal and the Shuk Chanukah told us no. Get away that hergel. Get away that routine. Consume it. The Chal Regal and the Shuk consume that routine from the street. Enough of that talk that you can't do this, you can't do that. No. Your Neshama has unlimited potential. You can have the loftiest conversations with the Kaddish Baruch Hu if you just understand that you start off with the Helig of the Neshama. Every person has something special in them. And we can begin the conversation with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we can make it deeper and deeper and deeper and stronger. And yes, Hashem, impact our lives, our families' lives, with doyrei, doyrei, doyrei.
similar regal.
Yeah, sure.
We should not do things by
rote. Correct. Consume the routine and start to do things with fire and with a passion. And you know what? You can do things with a fire and a passion when you understand that you have an neshama. And your neshama is always on fire. It's always on fire. It's waiting to keep on burning, to keep that flame moving and growing. And that's what we need to do, keep our flame moving step by step. Madrigals of the TV show taught us this week, the Madrigals of believing in ourselves, believing in that conversation with our Kaddish Baruch Hu, believing in our relationship with Hashem. Have a good Shabbos.